people want things to be a certain way, but it's not always so. Cain, he wanted to offer an offering to the Lord. God did not accept it. Balaam wanted to prophesy, but God didn't want him to prophesy the things he wanted to prophesy, the things he was getting paid to prophesy. And Korah, he wanted to offer what he wasn't given to offer. Verse 12, these are spots in your feasts of charity. That's all love feasts. In the early Christian church, they would gather together and eat together a common meal. The Lord's Supper. We called it a love feast. And they would gather together. Actually, love feasts is literally the word loves, as in love plural. Interesting. Well, in the midst of your feast of charity, when they feast with you, and now there's the word feasting, and there's spots in your loves when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about with winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. I just remember when someone compared me to a wandering star because I didn't belong to their church. And I hadn't any church at that point in my life because how could I? Just attach myself to whatever? Anything? You know, a lot of people out there are longing for some sort of church to call their home. And I certainly sympathize. I know what that feels like. You know, even though I had brethren, you know, that I fellowshipped with and so on and so forth. But to them, you had to have a proper church. And that sure is nice. But sometimes you're in a situation, if you have three or four brothers who see the same way that you do, that's a blessing in and of itself, if it be in the truth. You know, if it's not in the truth, what ends up is you may have friendship, it's like, but you don't really have that real fellowship of the truth, which is glorious, and because it leads you to godliness and righteousness. You encourage each other. You build each other up. The other fellowships I had, there was infighting or just no real care about the other person, you know, or it was just kind of empty. It's an intellectual pursuit or maybe it's just the pursuit of good deeds. Well, those are churches in a lot of cases. I don't mean in every case, but certainly I guess I had something in particular in mind that I saw recently. It's like, that's what we just want to build bridges between people. Well, so these are people who, again, Judah's warning, remember, against the men who come in unaware, come into the church. This is all about people inside church and what they do. Now, the thing is, a lot of this was going on in Jude's time. And those guys pretty much won out in the historical view. I mean, as far as the historically visible church, the Catholic Church, what became the Catholic Church, is a representation of complete falling away from the doctrine of the apostles by any measure of a man of God. You know, as they measure it, obviously not. You know, to them, I'm just some madman. But this is a complete rejection of the things that Christ stood for, a complete rejection of the doctrine of Christ, a complete rejection of everything that the New Testament apostles stood for. Beginning with the Council of Nicaea, when they began to use the state power with the church. That's just right there. That's blasphemous. or, you know, to rely on that power to enforce church discipline and such. And that was the beginning of that. They had respective persons. They respected the person of Caesar. Oh, if he would come to our church, it would be wonderful. We could be recognized by the world. They were seduced. Okay, so, well, my point in saying that is that this is mostly accomplished. It is, it's been accomplished and overflown. And now in these last days, there's a sort of a just general darkness that exists through which we must all grope until God shines a light that we might see. And I see the way I groped for a very long time before he let his light to shine on me. But still, these are the people who are running. So in other words, what I'm saying is these are not the people who are creeping into your churches. They're the people who are running your churches. Feeding themselves without fear. When I go to the love feast, quote unquote, when I go to potlucks, when I've been to potlucks in churches, like, go to the little church nearby, or someone invites me over to a church and, oh, we're going to eat. I always remember my experience in one particular Sabbath-keeping church where I began to sing for them. They play, and they were eating, and I wouldn't do that. I would never do that again. I'm not dinner entertainment, but I did. And I have this thing where I can play and sing, and I can also look around and listen and think. And so I'm singing the words, I'm playing it with all my heart. At the same time, I'm looking around and seeing what's going on. And I hear people talking. I hear what they're talking about. They're talking about carnal things, worldly things, covetousness. And I'm like, the only spot you could bring into this feast is a light spot. A bright spot. All you can do is shine the glorious gospel into this darkness, to this vomit. Because that's all their feasts are. They're vomit feasts. Let's all feast on vomit. Let's feast on filth. Let's feast on degradation. Let's feast on abomination. Let's feast on all manner of destructive and hurtful things. Without water, carried about of winds.